Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down. In our first reading from Isaiah, the people had just begun to return from exile. They had for almost a generation been carried away into Babylon. Their temple had been ruined, destroyed, Jerusalem laid in ruins. But now the Assyrian Empire had overthrown the Babylonian Empire, and they had sent the people home, giving them permission to build the temple again and to be a nation, a subjected nation, but still a nation, a people united again. But they found it was way harder than that they had expected it to be. It's amazing how new beginnings can be that way. It's amazing how change can be that way. It's amazing how even when things seem promising and hopeful and new, that it's so very, very hard. For the Israelites coming back to Jerusalem, they found the city in ruins, its walls a crumbled mess, the glorious temple pulled down so that not a stone was left on stone, and the glorious gold and wealth of it stripped away. And worst of all, the people returning turned to themselves. The wealthy built their homes at the expense of the others. No one looked out for the good of the nation, and the poor became more poor, and the vulnerable became more vulnerable. Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down. The prophet recalls a time when God did, in fact, tear open the heavens and come down, and the mountains shook with God's presence, and the law was given on Sinai, that united the people as one. The law that had helped them, a rabble of slaves, to become a nation. It made them into a people who knew how to care for each other and into a people of faith. How very awesome it would be to have that happen. How often we wish for exactly that kind of a God, for a God to again tear open the heavens and lay it all out for us, to set us straight. Especially when things are new and we don't really know what we're supposed to do or where we're supposed to go or how we're supposed to begin or even what we're supposed to organize. Especially when we find it all so very overwhelming. And maybe even more than just the general newness that we encounter in our personal lives or in our communities, our immediate communities, but when we're faced with this awareness of the vast injustice in the world and become overwhelmed by the scope of it all, but somehow know something needs to change. Which, of course, anyone paying attention to the news and articles these days, especially this past week, listening and watching of these events of the past week with the announcement of the grand jury decision in Ferguson. In the demonstrations and riots and commentaries, in the articles about systemic racism and the militarization of the police, in the heart-touching stories, even, of those who do care and rise up to make a real connections in the community. We've been reminded again and again and again that we are not all that unlike the Israelites returning to Jerusalem, that we have established systems that cause the wealthy to benefit at the expense of the poor and vulnerable, that we are condemned by the same words that they are in their confession in Isaiah. We have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a filthy cloth. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind take us away. We all are bound up in the systems of violence and racism. We are all dehumanized by the ways that our society determines that some lives are more valuable than others. Our communities are torn apart by the violence that we perpetuate, thinking somehow that this is redemptive or restorative. We should be crying out with that prophet, "Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down." And I suppose in Advent, that is what we wait and pray for the full revealing of God. For God to let God's face shine on us, that we may be saved, that we might be healed, that we might be restored, that we might be made community again. But as I think about it, I don't imagine that that's quite how it happens, do you? That God's completely left the building, so to speak, that God isn't actually around at all and has to tear open the heavens in order to return? You see, I wonder if that's what the point of what Jesus is saying in the Gospel from Mark today. We'd hardly have to be alert or keep awake if God showed up and the mountains shook or the oceans boiled over. I think if God tore open the heavens, I'd certainly be bolt upright awake. I think instead Jesus is suggesting God is already here. And that when we watch, we find God changing the world in tiny ways. In ways so small, like the buds of fig trees, that we might miss it. And that is not our place, our calling, our longing as people of faith to miss God at work. Instead, we are called to witness to a God with us and to join in God's work in the world. We are called this Advent not to wait for a God who is absent, but to seek a God who is here, a God who was revealed in glory on the cross and the sun grew black and the earth shook. A God who ate a meal with his disciples at evening and washed their feet and prayed in the garden at midnight and told his disciples to keep awake, who looked with love and forgiveness at Peter at cockcrow, and who broke open the tomb at dawn. See, we are called to meet this God in our world, in the world, the work of healing and nonviolence, in the work of community building and reconciliation, in the work of the table where all are welcome, and the water where all are given new life and forgiveness, even ourselves. We are called to see God at work in libraries that stay open in the middle of Ferguson despite the riots. We are called to see God at work in the baptism of Michael Brown's father and the insistence of that faith community to rebuild even after arson burned their building to the ground. We are called to see God at work in nonviolent protesters demanding reforms, doable and just reforms. We are called to see God at work in police and protesters who embrace in a hope for change and reconciliation. We are called to see God at work in communities that join together to talk about ways that they can participate in the work of racial and economic justice and reconciliation. We are called to see God at work in every hand that reaches out to care for the neighbor and join together toward healing. We are called to stop and look and listen for a God at work in our lives, in our communities, and in the whole world. And then we are called to follow. Amen.